Today's Holy Gospel is a reading from the 10th chapter of St. Matthew. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Dear friends, grace and peace be with you from our Savior Jesus, who says that we are to be a welcoming people, that you are to be a welcoming person as he has been a welcoming person to us. Not only are you to welcome people, but you are to be the kind of person that other people welcome. Usually when we talk about welcome, we talk about how we welcome others when we have that conversation in the church. But today's theme is about how other people welcome us. So I told you that we were going to see how many words for welcome there are from other languages in the congregation right now this morning at Queen Anne. And I counted up, I think, 12 or 13. So even if they overlap, even if you are speaking another language, the word welcome, and it's already been spoken, I want you to do it. If you know how to say welcome in another language, would you please stand? Wow. Okay, how can I do this so I can come to you all? You're going to go first? Yeah, you're going to give us the word, and then we're going to guess what language.
Willkommen.
What is it?
German.
German.
Ahlan usahlan.
Oh. Say it again.
Ahlan usahlan.
I can't even repeat it. Thank you. Arabic, huh?
Benvenuti.
Benvenuti. Italian?
Italian.
Italian, yeah. Oh, okay.
This one's going to be hard.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos.
Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat his. I'll go with Willkommen, which sounds a lot like his, and I'm probably not saying it quite right.
But no, there we go.
I'll do the Danish.
All right.
Willkommen.
It's about the same, isn't it?
It is, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Danes and the Swedes and the Norwegians can all say welcome and they all know what they're saying.
Yeah. Bienvenue.
French.
French, yeah.
French, yeah.
Nigera.
Nigera.
Nigera. You can guess, maybe.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
If you said Karibu, I would know.
Karibu.
Karibu, yeah.
But Nyagera is my mother tongue, Kihaya.
Haya?
Yes.
And so you say it again.
Nyagera.
Nyagera is your mother tongue. Does
right.
Is your mother tongue?
Kihaya.
Kihaya.
Yes.
And?
In Bukoba, Tanzania.
In Bukoba, yeah. I'm going to go to Bukoba in October.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you better learn that word.
Yeah. But I know Karibu.
Karibu ni Kiswahili.
Swahili, yeah.
Mbula Vinaka.
Bula Vinanka? Mm-hmm. What's the country?
Fijian.
Fiji. Wow, isn't that nice?
Aloha. Oh. I'm going to repeat Karibu.
Karibu.
Kiswahili.
Say it again.
Kiswahili.
Yeah, Kiswahili.
Ogopogo.
Native American.
Ogopogo.
Native American.
Wow, thank you.
From Canada.
Thank you.
Irase maset.
What's that now?
Irase maset.
What is it?
Japanese.
Oh. Well, that was wonderful. Do you know what the first word is on your webpage?
Welcome.
Welcome. That's the first word. I want to commend you for your webpage, and I want to read to you part of it because it's a statement about who you are. Welcome to Queen Anne Lutheran Church. We are a community of faith committed to the mission of proclaiming God's love in Christ for every person. Are you all nodding so far? Now listen to this. We share our faith in an inclusive community as we embrace all people, including those of all cultures, all races, and sexual orientation. Then, there's a little more, but then you made a statement. You must have voted on this in May 2017. That's just a couple months ago. You did this, right? Listen to this. Called by Jesus Christ to love our neighbors as ourselves, we affirm that all people, regardless of faith or religious affiliation, should be treated with dignity and with respect. We stand by our brothers and our sisters of churches, synagogues, mosques, and other faith communities, and we condemn threats and attacks upon them. More broadly, we pledge to oppose bigotry, discrimination, and scapegoating within the Christian tradition and within the society around us. And in response, we do this in response to the embracing and inclusive love that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ. You agree?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Well, I really commend you for that, to put it out there like that, so boldly, particularly in a time like this where there is so much fear that's being drummed up. Fear of outsiders, fear of strangers, fear of foreigners, fear of people from other lands, people who say welcome in other ways than we do. We're even being spoken to by many of our political leaders who are encouraging this fear, using blame and name-calling and even outright untruths. All of it making it clear that outsiders are not welcome. So when a congregation like yours stands up as the Church of Christ and speak boldly words of welcome in many, many different languages to many, many different people, I want to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your clear words of welcome. Now, sometimes I have the feeling that that's a good enough time to just end the sermon. You want more? All right. Listen to these words of Jesus and ask yourself as you hear them, do you think these words are meant for you and not just for the first disciples? He spoke them to the first disciples, but Jesus says them not only to them, but to all of his current disciples, even you. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus. That's an astounding thing to say. That you're not just you in you, but Christ dwells in you. Whoever welcomes you welcomes the Christ. Amazing. Do you know what I think it means? It means that people experience Jesus through you. That people meet Jesus and they're introduced to Jesus through you. I think that's exactly what it means, what Jesus is saying. Whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus. The Apostle Paul speaks this truth in a variety of ways. Paul writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it." In another place in the New Testament, Paul says, "You are ambassadors for Christ. God is making God's appeal to the world through you. At another place, the Apostle Paul writes, the word of Christ dwells in you richly. Isn't that great? And in John's gospel, it says that God has come in Jesus Christ to make his home in you. We know that God's method for outreach and mission into the world was to come in Jesus. Now Jesus sends us to be his living presence in the world. Whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus. Every single day, every single moment of every day, you encounter people who have little or no relationship with the Church of Christ. So many people that you meet rarely, if ever, gather together like we are doing right now. Some of these people are members of your family. Some of them are your neighbors. Some of them are co-workers. Some of them are classmates. These are the people that you pass by when you go to the grocery store, or when you're out for a ball game, or when you're just walking down your street for an evening stroll. A great deal of unrealized outreach is taking place in everyday, ordinary activities. The living Jesus is meeting people through you. When my wife Elaine, this is Elaine right here sitting third row back, when Elaine and I moved recently into our current home, not recently, I guess it's been about 11 or 12 years ago, we met a family whose last name was Lord, L-O-R-D. Harley and Vera Lord. And when they heard that we wanted to purchase their home, they were overjoyed. And they told everyone that they met that Pastor Mark and Elaine had decided to live in the Lord's house. We found out that Harley and Vera were very open to the faith. Although they had never been in a church family, they had never been in a congregation as members, and they rarely, if ever, worshiped. In the days that followed after we moved into the Lord's house, Harley and Vera moved into a senior center near Trinity Lutheran Church in Linwood, where I was the pastor for many years. Trinity had been leading worship services at that care center for many years, and Harley and Vera started to attend, worshiping for the first time. And you know what? They liked it. And we got to know each other better. And then after just a few months, Vera died. And Harley asked me to lead her memorial service. A few days after that service, I woke up early in the morning and I went out to the living room and I pulled the drapes. And I looked out the window and Harley was sitting, just looking straight ahead, sitting in his car in front of his old home. He was lonely and grieving and missing his dear wife. So I opened the front door because I wanted to invite him in. And just as I opened it, he didn't notice that I was there. He drove off. So I went to see him and we talked. He told me how he trusted that his wife was secure in the Lord's care, but he missed her very much. So we folded our hands into each other's hands and we prayed. Now I want to ask you, do you think that Jesus was present? Do you think he was present in Harley? Do you think he was present in me? Absolutely. A few months later, Harley died. And his family asked me to lead his memorial service. All we did was find a home that we liked, and we decided that we'd buy it. That's all we did. And Harley had built a home for his dear wife, Vera, as their retirement home. and now we're living there. And we will always say that we live in the Lord's house. And you know what else is the truth? Harley and Vera live in the Lord's house too. Everyone who welcomes you welcomes Jesus. We become friends with our neighbors, especially the couple across the street. A while back, Gary came over to talk. I knew that it had to be really important because most of our conversations happened by chance, you know, putting out the garbage, getting the mail, watering the yard, things like that. But he came to the door, he knocked at the door, and he said, "Mark, I know you believe in God. So I was wondering this, Mark, would you be willing to help me? My mother's dying. And I was wondering, would you conduct a brief graveside service when she dies? As you know, we're not churchgoers, and I don't even think I believe. But my mom would appreciate it, and so would we." Whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus. Our friendship has grown now over the years. Our trust has grown. He told me about the death of his daughter. So I told him about the death of our daughter. We shared grief, and I shared the promise of resurrection. You know what? They still don't go to church. Gary and Winnie welcomed us into their lives. And the Christ that lives in Elaine and me has now been welcomed by them. I really like them. I wish that they would come to worship with us. You know, coming into the living room of the faith, so to speak. But I have learned to be grateful for small things. Through their relationship with us, I believe they have welcomed Jesus. Now, how about you? How about the many people that you know whose contact with Jesus is maybe only through you? Jesus puts it like this in the gospel: whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, whoever gives even a cup of water, something as simple and as basic as that. I'm afraid that we think about sharing the faith or sharing the good news of the gospel or witnessing or whatever we call it, that it requires something extra special on our part, that it's something big, that it's something dramatic. And probably it's best done by those who know what they're doing, like pastors. But Jesus says it is even a cup of water to one in need is a meaningful welcome. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be heroic. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be as simple as smiling at a stranger rather than ignoring a stranger. It can be as simple as welcoming a new kid at school. Welcoming a new kid when you go to summer camp. It can be as simple as thanking a law enforcement officer or someone in the military. Or just being there when your kids need you to be there. It can be as simple as speaking up for someone who is being discriminated against. It can be as simple as walking out these doors, walking a few steps across the narthex, and buying some coffee, some fair grade coffee. I mean, it's amazing that someone makes that available to you from Lutheran World Relief every single Sunday. You ought to buy a chocolate bar or something every time you pass by. Even a cup of water to one in need. It's what all of us can do. A listening ear, a caring presence, a warm encounter, a tender touch, even the smallest act of kindness makes an eternal difference. And you know what? Here's what's really amazing. You are already doing it, and you maybe don't even know it. You're already doing it with your helping hand and with your listening ear, your cups of cold water. You're caring for the world that God loves. Have any of you heard the story of the man throwing the starfish back into the sea? It's a very common story. He's throwing all these, there's thousands of starfish on the sea, on the side of the water, and he's throwing them one by one back into the sea, and a bystander comes by and says, "What in the world are you doing?" And he replies that he's throwing these starfish back into the sea because if they dry out there, they'll die. The guy who's talking to him looks at the beach and sees thousands of starfish, and the onlooker responds, "But you can't possibly hope to make any difference at all." To which he says this famous line, "To the ones I throw back, it makes all the difference in the world." That's it. Exactly. Even a cup of cold water, even an individual act of mercy makes all the difference in the world. And so I'm standing here today as your guest pastor who doesn't know a lot about you as a community other than what I've now read in your webpage and what I see in front of me. And so I want to say this. I want to say to you, thank you for your everyday faith welcomes. God is at work through you, even in the smallest act of kindness. The phrase that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has been using lately is, "God's work, our hands." Yeah. Now, I want to just add a footnote here about something that I'm really concerned about and very passionate about, and it's about the need for clean water in our world. We take clean water for granted. It's there in the faucet. It's there in our refrigerator at a beck and call. But did you know that even now today, 780 million people lack access to clean water? That's more than 2 times the population of the United States. And that a child dies every 20 seconds from a water-related disease. That's 3 a minute. Jesus talks about giving a cup of water, a small gift that makes all the difference in the world. What you do, what you give, your kind attention, your words of support and encouragement, and your offerings, all that you do out of faith and love for Christ, even a cup of cold water, makes all the difference in the world. A gift from you is a gift from Jesus. Jesus has promised to make his home in you. He's told you that you are an ambassador for Christ, that God is making an appeal to the world through you. When someone meets you, receives you, welcomes you, they meet, they receive, they welcome Jesus. It's amazing to even say it. It's simply amazing. Such good news. Jesus speaks to you, and Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." And if you agree, would you please say amen?
Amen.
Amen.